Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast, episode 594. Because it's the weekend, I have two friends joining me, and that is Stinky Feet Pete.
Hello.
And Naive Steve.
Hiya.
Hiya. You all right, boys? Had a nice week.
All right, yeah, not too bad.
Busy week for me.
Is it, Steve? What's happened, fella? Tell us. Update us on the life of Steve.
Well, it's been freshest week for the students coming back, so a bit of work there.
Hang on a sec. That sounds a bit almost dodgy there. Why have you been fresh? Yeah. New students coming back, but at work there. What have you been doing then? What, for example?
I've been doing like the videos for
again. See,
this is not going well.
Looking for the parties, you know what I'm saying?
The naked stuff. Yeah.
There was one of those parties I did film.
Okay,
what
did you?
A freshers club party, yeah.
Is it? And what are the students like this day and age, Steve? I still feel
very young.
I understand that. I still think of myself, right, as you know, in your head, we're aging. Of course, we all are. But in my head, I still feel I'm not that far away from it. But I realise, you know, you turn around and think, hang on, I'm over 20 years away from when I was, you know, a student
and
age.
The rest.
Yeah, and the rest. Well, 20 odd years, I said. 20 odd years, Steve. Yeah.
Well, you should have said 30 odd. Really, that would have worked better.
Don't rub it in. It's not one of your videos. So are they wild, Steve, or are they quite sensible in this day and age?
Do you know, they were quite sensible, actually.
I thought that, because it's a perspective of an older person who will say, oh, young people these days, they don't respect. But I think the majority of people have become more learned, you know, they were more, I think we were crazier when we were younger, that's what I think, you know. I think as time goes on, you're surrounded by the pressure of social media, and to do outrageous things, unless you want to be, you know, one of the jackass boys, you know, you don't do it. So you're scared of social peer pressure, aren't you, really? And I think there's a lot of, anyway, that's Steve's. So, busy for you. Peter, more staring out the window.
Yes, mostly. That's all I've been doing this week.
Lovely, okay. Yeah. Listen, now, I want to publicise my blog this week. Because I've done a bit of research on a company, and it's about 8 pages of blog write-up. And I don't want to tell you what it is.
Wow.
So I want people to... And I mentioned it in last week's blog. I said I've done a bit of research on a company. It's overlooked, I think. And I like it for several reasons. In fact, I've got 3 reasons to invest. And it's down to the management, the assets, and something else. It's shareholders, that's right.
Yes, yeah.
And it's worth looking at. It's a tiny little, it's sub sort of 5 million market cap. But I think this could be a good thing because the management are very good. They've done things before in the past that are very good. It's along the lines of, you know, like we said, always look at the management, you know, and see the track record, like Asia Met, people like that, you know. And you've got Talao Energy. It's that kind of thing, you know. Look at the management, look at the assets, look at the shareholders there. And so I think at the moment, and I've said in the first paragraph of my blog, on the face of it at the moment, this company may not look too exciting. But by this time next year, knowing the shareholders, the involvement of the stakeholders and the management, it could turn into a very exciting little company and could, you know, move up the market cap sort of spectrum. So if you want to do that, you know, you just go to Twitter somewhere or something, you'll find out my blog, whatever, you know, Vox Markets blog there. Click the link, you'll see it anyway. So get on the list for that, and I'll send that out, because I've got, you know, I've been buying a couple of shares in this company, and I quite like it. I think it could be a good little thing. And there's a couple of catalysts as well happening along the way that before the end of this year, they should send the share price northwards. You know, sure. All
right. Right, yes.
I've got to say, have you seen the popularity of cloud tags? Phenomenal. And,
yes.
Of course, wearable fitness tech stuff. And
do you own stock in that?
I don't know. I don't own any stock. I mean, I missed the boat there, I think. I know a lot of people say, oh, you haven't missed the boat yet. But it's gone from like 2 pence to 14 pence in the last, you know, couple of months. And I think that's a massive rise. And whether it has long-term potential or not, you know, when you see a company has that much, that rise, I won't buy stock when it's risen that quickly, you know, 400-500%, you know, in like a couple of weeks. I just think it needs to cool off before I think about it. But I mean, I've never had so much reaction to a stock. It's like, if I tweet anything out, I'll wake up in the morning, look at my Twitter account, I got like, 50, 60 notifications. I haven't tweeted anything. And I think, what's going on? And it's a cloud tag, you know, shareholders saying, when's the podcast out? Oh, are you chatting to this guy next year? But I did that on Friday. I chatted to the CEO, Amit Ben-Haim. He was in Minneapolis, man. Do Americans sound American? It sounds like Minneapolis, you know? It sounds good, doesn't it? Like Cardiff. It doesn't sound as... Minneapolis. Cardiff.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound...
Philadelphia.
I know, yeah. It sounds big and show busy. Yeah. But yeah, he was out there, so the wonders of Skype there. And so, Steve, it's a good job he didn't sell his EVRH shares, isn't it?
I am so glad I sold there at 1.42 or where it was.
I did think that was weird at the time, because I couldn't even buy any, and then you sold them. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that was an error of not speaking to you first.
I know.
I'd have bought them from you.
That's the thing is if you get into the AIM mentality, there's lots of rubbish stocks on AIM, right? And literally, they can be dying. Then all of a sudden, they'll have the resuscitation of survival, and the share price will, you know, spike up. And yes, you sell quickly, you make a quick profit, get out. But then you've got other companies that have genuine, you know, and this is the companies I try and hunt for. I do go for the odd punt here and there, but I do try and hunt for these stocks that have medium to long term potential. Because, and I think EVRH is one of those. We're in the virtual reality sector. They've got a content bank of, you know, music and all that. They just signed a deal with Telefonica in Germany, biggest operator in the biggest country in Europe, for 665 stores to show their app, New Melody VR app. And the guys, Anthony, CEO, is over in America at the moment. And we know, you know, Oculus, which Facebook bought, they raised $10 million, which pretty much, you know, that's not far off what EVRH raised. And... in 2012. In 2014, Facebook bought them for $2 billion, you know? And it's not only them, other big players, I know this virtual reality now. You know, we've had a first era, haven't we, of virtual reality a while back and didn't really catch on. But now the big players are behind it. Now the marketing's happening. I'm seeing now they're starting to stock, you know, HR headsets, VR headsets, I mean, in Currys and Dick's, all these places, you know, high street stores. And so when these guys get behind the marketing of these products, you know it's going to gain a bit of traction. You know, it could be a flop. It could be like 3D TVs that haven't really taken off that much. But we've got some very big players here. And even if it is a flop, EVRH here has still got a way to go, you know, because it hasn't even started its journey yet. But I'm just thinking, when these big companies are around like this, they don't want to lose because evolution and technology, you know, evolves so quickly, they can't afford to be left behind. So they will want to get a bit of this space. And they are prepared, you know, to pay ridiculous amounts of money to get a bit of land grab here. And so, you know, there's no point, you know, trying to value EVRH on fundamentals. They haven't got any revenue at the moment, but they do have content for VR. And so if someone wants to, you know, grab a bit of this, they'll be fully prepared to pay, you know, multiples, mega multiples of the worth of EVRH to grab that land. And so you're in a hot sector. And so Steve saw this and sold.
Well, to be fair, though, all the other AIMs I'm seen to get in, they seem to do that, and I end up just kicking myself that I didn't take the profit. So I saw this, and I thought, yeah, I'll take some money. That's the problem, you're just advising me wrong.
But
I didn't advise you to sell them at all.
No, you advised me to buy all the other ones, though, didn't you?
Which other ones? Which other ones?
No, I'm not going to get into details.
I do suggest a couple of stocks now and again. I just say do your own research. Maybe put them on your watch list. But to be honest, the ones you picked up on have been dogs.
Thanks.
At least he's honest. How's Snoozebox? No.
But the thing about Snoozebox, you guys sit there, right? And you say, I don't want to sell this stock because I'm going to loss. I don't care. It's already, if you look at your portfolio there, the percentage gain or loss, that's already baked in there. So if you sell, it doesn't change, you know?
No.
All you worry about is want to go. No, just get out. It's all about, again, we go back to, allocation of capital. Like, you can sit there on your Lloyd's shares, Pete, and you can be there for a long time, get a nice little dividend, but you won't get much capital appreciation, apart from 10, maximum 20%, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, will you get that elsewhere? Will you get a better deal elsewhere? Is it a better deal? And it's hard to say if you will or not. Now, you know, I'd say 20% is a big upside for Lloyd's, probably more likely 10%, you know, if you're likely in the next 5-6 months. Now, you could probably get that better elsewhere, you know, you got to get the capital elsewhere. So don't worry about where you're sitting on a loss, just think about the cash in there, could use it better. Yeah. You know?
Yes. But say with EVRH the other week, where they were placing at 1.7 or whatever, and it's still at that point, it feels like it's also a lot of momentum, a lot of hype around it. And you're like,
hang on. Do you remember on the last podcast, or podcast before, you said to me, what's, and I look at the chart in EVRH, and I, you said to me, you said, what price do you think EVRH is? And I said, 1.8, just off the top of my head. And I wasn't off the top of my head. I look at the chart. And I said that, right? Because it went up to 2.3 at the time.
Yeah.
And it didn't look like it was going to come back to 1.8. It came back to 1.8. You didn't buy. It came back a bit below that. It was at 1., I think you could have bought for 1.7, which was the placing price. And then shot from 1.7 up to 3 pence. So, I don't know what to say here.
I had some orders in, but they didn't fill.
Yeah, but so, sometimes, I know, it's hard to judge, but sometimes you just got to buy there and be prepared for those falls with it, invest in tranches. Get your tranches in there.
Right, so that brings me on to my next question this week.
Tranche investing. That's what we should call it.
Justin tranche investing. I get it, and it's quite a good idea. It's sensible, scaling in, but... Say, let's take Toulouse, for example. So I bought some at whatever, 7.5p or something, and it's now risen and it's gone up. That's great. But the thing is, because I was using that method, I've only kind of got a third of what I would normally put in.
Yes. But then, for example, is it now Toulouse is coming in the buy zone? And I always quite like round numbers, you know? I'd say
but buy zone because it's dropping back a bit now.
Yeah, because it's been up to 13.4, right?
Yeah.
And I'd say it's fallen more than how much of that. So in fact, if you look at close of trades, better break close of day trades. So 12.7 close out. It's now 10.8. That's more than 10%. Now you could have had a tranche there. You could buy now and we'd expect another 10% down. Now I
explain that. So you're saying you buy in an ideal world, you buy a lump of stock and also have an order in at 10% below that. It would drop down. You'd buy then. And then it would start, and again down another 10%, and then you'd start to rise in all happy days. What you're saying now, though, is actually, obviously, in this scenario, it's gone straight up from 7.5p up to like 13p.
Yeah, I wouldn't use a 10% on penny stock for that because when it gets to the top there, it gets a bit volatile.
Yeah.
So it will calm down here now. You know, we'll see maybe see consolidation. And when you see that, now a round figure of 10 pence is nice, but I mean, you want to always get that. I'd put a little bit above 10 pence, then put another tranche in, then just 10% below that, you know?
So, 9.
Yeah, so you're not 9 pence. Yeah. You may not give that. So if it doesn't, it's fine. You've taken up your second, you fill your second order, and then you're waiting for another order. So, the big worry about, only filling one tranche on the first buy and it going up, that's not a worry, is it? Because you're in profit. It's not a problem there, you know? It's an ideal situation. So you can always invest. Don't be worried about investing. Now, you know, I would say Toulouse is an excellent stock, and I've been in there some 3.5p. At the moment, it's risen on a lot of potential. They need to prove now they've got some off-take agreements. If everything goes ahead, if this happens, like Tony Gilby says it happens, of course, there's massive upside here. But they've got to prove these commercial gas flow rates and all that. So there's a bit of risk there. Now, you can take that risk and say, okay, that's what I'm buying into. I know in the risk there. You know, if they don't prove commercial gas flow rates, then it'll fall to the floor. But that is also an opportunity, you know, to buy, isn't it? Because other people are worried about that. So do you buy that risk? You know, that's what I'm saying. That's the way the market works, isn't it? And also on the 10 pence there, people may be looking for around 10 pence. So go, you know, think just ahead of them and think, in fact, I'll put it at 10.1 or 10.2 because that's where it'll fill and it may not get down to 10 pence. You know, the offer may be there 10 pence. The bid, so you know, but I just think buying and selling shares. Obviously, I lose money, you know, I'm still learning. You learn. This is what I love about stocks and shares. You learn as you go on. Each stock and company is completely different. It's unique, and you can't just put a ruler over one and say this is the way. All you can do, maths applies to everything in the world. Mathematics, you can't really fail. If you're buying at a good level, you know, and you're prepared for the drop further levels where it will be then really oversold, there's a good chance it'll bounce, you know. So you'd always got to try and buy at a good level, always, and then hopefully it'll bounce up and you'll be laughing. That's why you should never buy a spike, like now, even with Toulouse. Let it settle for a couple of days, let it consolidate, and it may be around that 10 pence or just a little bit above
and
that.
Now with EVRH. I mean, just
step
away from from the buy button, and then this time next week we're going, blimey, it's 6p now.
Yeah, but that's a psychology. of investing that people don't want to know when it's coming down. It's like, well, hang on, this is the same company, just happened to have any news out. And then you've almost like, you know, that's it. I mean, you're flip your psychology on its head.
It is like my, when I had the orders in at 1.7 or for EVR, it didn't feel, I didn't get any. And then once it's up to 2p, you know, okay, I won't buy now because I'm just buying. And I like the whole concept. I know some of the guys you've had on the podcast talking about, you know, buy at wholesale, sell at retail and all of that. And you sort of feel when you're crossing that line into then retail, you know, the higher prices, you're like, that's not the time to be buying, is it? The entry point was back at 1.7 or 1.5 or whatever. And so you've got to walk away. And then you've got to look at it and go, oh, it's 3p now. So 2p would have been a... I think I've said this before but on this podcast, but there's no right or wrong answer. It's just you've got to accept that, haven't you, sometimes? You're not going to get in every stock you want to be in, I suppose, is the lesson.
Now, I get in none.
Again, do you know what, the blog post I've sent out on the weekend, at the moment, I believe this stock is at wholesale. I believe that, right? Or it's very close to. It can come down a little bit more, I think, but it's very close to it. But there's news due. And it's in a resource company, and there's news due, and if the news hits, then you know this could shoot up, you know, an extra 10-20%. Who knows? So you'll miss that chance of getting cheap, you know. So at the moment, it's around about the. I mean, it could be a little bit cheaper, but I think at the moment there's not a lot of interest in it, and that's when to get in. I've been looking at the volume here, and literally, there's nothing happening there. Is a little bit now and again. But so it's a good time to be interested in the stock like that, you know. And
the other thing as well is that you know, these stocks, the ones that are going really well, it's, you know, they're not the only stocks in the world. They're not the only stocks that will do well in the future. It's just to get over it, isn't it, and move on. There's more new good stocks, other things to look at, and forget about it. And like with Steve, his Hague London Oil. Okay. But you know, those kind of things, you just got to park it, forget about it, move on.
Yeah, do you know what, I almost need to start afresh. I wish I just literally had just cash and I could start again, and I just kind of got myself into a bit of a bad
into a pickle.
You can, Steve, just sell your portfolio.
Yeah, but I'll be
stop thinking about that. It's what you've got now, it's not what you may have, it's what you've got now.
Going off piece a little bit, but I don't know if you heard, you probably wouldn't because you're not really into it, but I was listening to the radio the other day and they're talking about Frankie Dettori's when he won seven winners. He had all seven winners on the Ascot card. That is 20 years ago, basically. He won it. And a bookie called Gary Wiltshire, he lost £1 million on that day because people were massively going in for the seventh race. And he just went crazy, still had loads of bets. And he turned up with £2,000 at the start of the day and just, you know, having a bit of a play. He's a bookie, so he does all that stuff. And he lost £1 million. But over the last 20 years, he's clawed it all back. I mean, the house had to go. He sold the car. He sold everything. So you don't do that, Steve. But just to prove that, you know, he massive loss, but then over time, doing whatever it needs to be done to actually claw it back. And kind of I see parallels with the stock exchange. You go, okay, made a loss on that stock, but I've got what I've got, and I can now start to rebuild and buy some other stocks and, I don't know, go on from there. But that was an interesting tangent I brought into the podcast this week.
Yeah, no, it's true. I was just thinking, you know, you can happen. I mean, the thing is, do you know what? I learned a lesson this week, and it cemented it. And unfortunately, so did a lot of investors in Extract Resources. Now, this is a company, you know, this failed to deliver on everything, and they've had almost the final nail in the coffin this week was a strategic review. Whenever you see that, they go, there's Chupika mine there, and basically they're not going to head with this mine. This was the last promise, you know, of generating a bit of revenue there, or a bit of upside. And and I saw people investing in Extract Resources because they kept saying, there can't be any more bad news here. And this was just before this was released on the Thursday. And I'm thinking, it's the last case in point. Never invest in a bad company expecting good news, you know, because it probably won't come. It may come down again. You know, you do have bounces, a massive bounce, almost on the hopeful survival or the last breath or, you know, rites of passage there. But I mean, you know, why not? Why go for that? I don't understand that strategy. Why not go for a good company with good potential? I don't, you know, when you can't, you know, so easily do that. Why go for a bad company? I don't understand. Hoping for a bounce. Because surely if you're a person, like I said, if you're a horse that's run, you know, 100 races, let's go back to horses, like run 100 races and lost badly every race, you wouldn't say, listen, this one, it's got to win. It's got to win this last one. No, it's not good.
You know, if you were a horse.
No, I'm going to say, if you were, you know, if you
say rich, you've got a speaking horse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're a horse, invest in the AIM stock.
Yeah, you'd probably do well, actually. But no, but what I'm saying is, you wouldn't bet on that horse if it lost 100 races in a row, you know? Because if you realise, hang on, it's not a good racehorse. It shouldn't be racing. You know?
This is not for him.
And so why bet on a bad company? Bad news after bad news, hoping for a bounce or hoping for a surprise. Yeah. When you can actually, you know, go for the favourite in those 100 races and you probably have a good few winners in it, you know? So I just think go for a good company and be bid. On AIM, people just think AIM is full of rubbish. Not. You know, some AIM companies go and they do quite well. And even if they don't, from where they are, tiny market cap, you know, they can rise massively. And then before you actually realise, hang on, it's probably not going to get there. And you can, you know, if you are a couple hundred percent up, like, well, my strategy is always anyway, sell half. If you make 100%, sell half, and then you can't lose. You know, you cannot lose. So,
And also just, you know, be happy with profit, however small. If you know, even if it turns out you could have made a lot more. That's annoying.
But that strategy of literally looking for a stock that you think can double, right?
Yes.
Is a good strategy. Because then, you know, then hopefully, because, you know, even if it doesn't get there, you may even get to 30%. And then you can put a stop loss anyway, you know, on where you originally bought, and you won't lose anyway. But if you're just looking for a company, you know, on the small cap market, I mean, it has some potential. I mean, I think almost look for a company that can almost multi bag, has the potential, a sky high potential to multi bag, you know? And then you realise, and you've got a bit of that filter you use, makes you only include some decent companies with decent assets and decent management, because otherwise, if it's a dog, they're hoping for a bounce, then it won't be a multi-bagger because you know they've failed on every account. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Was there anything else we should talk about? Sky, it's rebounded a bit, and so I don't understand, right? It's like, you know, you get pundits. Now, I've seen a raft of upgrades on Sky. It's our second trade in our, grand to £100,000 in 50 trades or less using big cap. Using, you know, FTSE 100 companies, this is up for here. And EasyJet first. That's tanked, doesn't it? EasyJet, wow.
Yes, I saw that. Yes, so, it's gone, you know,
we were saying we missed out, but it's really tanked. And so we made 10% on EasyJet, or 11%. And then we put it in Sky now. It dropped 4 days in a row after we bought it, which wasn't good. Then it came back up now. It hit our buy level at 865. It's around about 850, just 860, just below that. But I saw a raft of upgrades, and people, you know, Morgan Stanley and all that saying, you know, this is like a £10, £25, £13. And I saw one, you know, guy from a blockhouse saying, no, £6.30. And I thought, how can these people be financially trained, you know, all looking at metrics? And then the one says, you know, £13. No, it says £6.30. I thought, you're insane. Everyone else is it. And I was reading this, and I thought, I actually clicked. I got a folder now on my desktop called Wrong Predictions. And I've screenshot it, put it in there. That all your basic, because he's basically thinking about, there's a lot of competition from Netflix and all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, but yet, he has no, you know, and he said, subscribers. The subscribers are up. I don't understand what he's talking about. He said the subscriber model will come under pressure. And I'm thinking, well, I know the subscribers are up. Why don't you just go on the facts you've got rather than thinking you know what is going to happen? You know, because no one knows what's going to happen. I mean, if you're basing it on the last results, and, you know, it's fine. But if you're basing it on what you think will happen in the future, that's wrong, surely. And this is a guy from quite a big investment house. You know, that, mate, your 6.30 target is ridiculous. This is, you know, six or seven other people from massive merchant banks here saying this is oversold. And
but don't you think sometimes, this is my view of that, where people make those kind of predictions, they're only, in a way, sometimes they're doing it so that if it proves right, they can go, yeah, see, and that really adds to their credibility. Nobody will remember they were completely wrong, but if they're right, they're able to stand up and shout about the fact that they actually called it correctly, and people then start taking notice of them and go, well, oh, good credibility, he called Sky correctly, you know? Is that, well, that's just me being cynical.
Yeah, I saw that thing before, saying, if you're going to make predictions, never make a mediocre one, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, go big.
Because no one will remember it. That was quite obvious. Like, you know, you'll find these people who say, oh, you often see articles like saying, oh, from the man who predicted the 2008 crash. Yeah, but hang on, just look, read on his past blogs, he's been predicting a crash every year for the last 15 years. He's got to be right sooner or later, you know? But people pick him up then on that last one that he's right on. and almost the other blogs have faded into insecurity, obscurity. Obscurity, yes, because he was right on that big moment, and so you've got to be, you know, make a prediction, make it big and bold, and then you'll be called up by as a pundit on the things on the TV to talk about it.
And also, if they're shorting that stock as well, they're kind of deramping it, aren't they, by doing these kind of crazy big bold. Is that another thing that potentially is going on in the background there?
Maybe, yes. Maybe the house has got a hurt. They should.
They're massively exposed. Like, they've got a short position on Sky, and they're like going, no, £6.
Yeah, I think that maybe. I'm sure they should hold. If they've done that, they should, declare that holding.
Yeah, yeah. There's probably some rules about that that we don't. I don't know about.
Yeah, but So. When I read this guy, first and foremost, I thought he's not really looking at the last set of results. If he is, he's just basing his, on his internal thought process. Secondly, looking at the chart, this is a massive tanking in the stock market, and we've had the Fed saying they're not going to raise rates at the end of the year. That's buoyed the stock markets. I thought if you're not looking at the chart here, even a weekly trend chart, the relative strength is up, which means the momentum is with this to the upside from here. And what's he talking about? I just thought it was insane. But part of me thought maybe he's right. He's that insane that he's gone for 6.30. what's your prediction there, Steve, for the share price of Sky?
I've got none. I'm hoping it goes to 10, but you never know with the things you've been predicting.
Haven't you written a thesis on it or anything?
Not yet. No, that's I'm on holiday next week, so I'll do a little Bible.
What's the Fibonacci telling you? What's the Fibonacci telling you?
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
He's put the Fibonacci's on it and saying bye, bye, bye.
I was reminded this week, I'm going off piste again. Do you remember the day today?
Yeah, yeah.
It's well worth watching on YouTube. Do you remember Peter Hanrahan? Yeah. It was like the foreign correspondent who just knew nothing and was just like always making things up.
Yeah, yeah. I remember Chris.
Well worth checking that out on YouTube.
I know Chris Morris crossed him. He's going over Peter Hanrahan, and he's in Germany. So I spoke to the German minister, and he said they're going to lay off 80,000 jobs. He said, sorry, how many jobs? 80,000. Did they, Peter? How can they be laying off 80,000? But 50,000 people work there. That's what that's what he said.
What language do you speak?
Yeah, he said
German.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Did you actually speak to him, Peter? Did you actually speak to him? And he went, yes. No, did you?
Yes.
And he looks full of doubt. Show me your notes. He said, show me your notes. But he said, what? Put them up to the screen and show me your notes. And he had like pictures of spiders and stuff. What are you drawing spiders for? That's what he said.
Steve Hanrahan here. You go, bye, bye, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the market's saying. Bye, bye, bye.
Brilliant. Yeah. Good. Anyway, that's it.
Is there anything else? Steve courting? Pete courting?
I'm not courting Steve, no.
No, I'm not either, Pete.
Do you want it? Oh.
No, I'm all right, actually.
All right.
Steve, where are you going on holidays?
Mallorca.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey. Who are you going with?
A friend of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mentioned that, your friend, yeah.
A girlfriend or a...
No, just a friend.
A man.
Yeah.
Just a normal straight man.
Just a normal man, yeah.
You say normal, Peter. What do you mean? What's not normal?
Steve said that.
Yeah. So, how do you know this guy, Steve?
I used to work with him.
Okay.
He's a friend.
Yeah. Is he a close friend?
Not that close.
I just think it's a very, a 21st century thing to do, Steve. You go on a holiday, just you and him. He's a gay man. You are not. And you're sharing an apartment together.
And bed.
What's wrong with that?
What happens if you get really drunk, Steve?
Yeah, you said this before. Nothing.
So can you do a live Steve Hanrahan report from Mallorca next week?
Well, I'll be back by next week, so unless you want to do it earlier.
What are you doing, a sort of midweek break?
Yeah, well, I'll be back on the Thursday, so.
Okay.
What do you mean, how long are you going for?
5 days.
That's an odd, is it 5 days in Mallorca? Why is that then?
Oh, because I get bored.
Okay.
Are you going to, listen now, are you going to find it a little bit odd? You shouldn't do. If your friend says, do you want me to put some sun cream on your back, Steve?
No, because I'll do that myself.
How can you do that yourself? How long are your arms?
I got googly arms.
googly arms.
Googly.
They're good for Google. Okay, you should sell those, Steve. Google,
on the keyboard.
Google arms. Woo! I just imagine Mr. Tickle.
Yeah. Okay.
You should do that to him.
Is that his name?
Steve, I dare to be, you know, overly friendly and really put, you know. What's his name?
Chris.
Hey, Chris, do you want me to put some sun cream on your back?
Anyone else?
Really come on to him.
What about your front?
Yeah. We're about to hear, you can't reach your chest, can you? I'll put it on. Just be your fingertips just going into his trunks, top of his trunks. There we are. Steve, anyway, what are you doing?
There's something wrong with you.
There we are. Well, enjoy. Don't get sunburnt. Make sure you, make sure you put
plenty of... up.
Plenty of yeah, that'd be quite good. Halfway through it, Steve. Mm. You're putting sun cream on his back. So, hang on, what do I do? This is KY jelly.
No.
Oh, sorry. Right, here we are. All right, Steve. What kind of nightclubs are you going to go to, though?
I'm not going to go clubbing.
What are you going to do then? Just spend quiet nights in?
Nice food, couple of drinks.
Yay!
See where the night leads us.
Well, have some bed, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Normal things.
That's it. Okay. All right, then. Lovely, Steve. And
well, I look
people,
forward to hearing about it.
I assume you go to restaurants. People will assume you're a couple, won't they?
No.
Of course they will. Because is he a camp guy?
No.
Is he?
No, he's not.
Oh, isn't he? Okay.
No.
Is he?
And they'll say what happened to they say this, Steve? And what did I drink? He says, oh, I'll have a San Miguel, please. And your boyfriend? Yeah. No, we're not. No. We're sharing a villa, that's it. As far as we go, I haven't even then put sun cream on me.
We're just sharing a one bed villa.
A single bed.
Yes, I'm on the settee. All right. Well, have a nice time, Steve.
And, yeah,
thank you, I will do.
Yeah, I bet you will. Right, so is there anything else we missed out? I don't want to say anything
no.
else. No, nothing else. We've covered everything, haven't we?
That's it.
Life, love, and laughter.
Loss.
Yeah. And loss, yeah. Yes. All right, then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Box Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.